You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi al-rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-askiya. Amma ba'd. In today's reflection, inshallah, we will be talking about how Ramadan can be used as a battle against the nafs. The nafs is a very interesting word. We hear about it time and again, the nafs, the nafs, the nafs. But what does this actually mean? Obviously, this is not an English word, this is an Arabic word. And the scholars have debated on the meaning of the word nafs. I'd like to first of all clarify that the nafs is something that is not tangible. It's not something that's physically, you know, holdable, that you can go and grab it or touch it. It's an intangible matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Now, the scholars differ on what is the nafs exactly. Some great scholars of spirituality, they say, the nafs is the sum of two things within the human being. Anger and carnal passion, sexual carnal passion. Anger and carnal passion put together, and whatever calls towards these two things is what we call the nafs. So in essence, what we learn, obviously from this definition, one added point, is that the nafs is nothing positive, it's actually something, it has a negative connotation to it. The second group of scholars, they say, that nafs in reality is anything that calls a person towards bad. Beyond these two things, anything that calls people towards bad. But the nature of the nafs is such that it's malleable. You can change it. If you work with it, if you spend time with it, if you work against it, just like the body. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this body, it's pure, it's sound, it's natural. And at the birth, the human being's soul, that lower self, is also very beautiful, it's natural, it's safe, it's secure. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every single person is born on fitrah, on pure nature. And then what happens is as you grow, you feed the body bad things, you begin to put weight on, you become unhealthy, and then you become ill, you know, physically you're not sound, there's something wrong, you know, things aren't adding up. And the same thing with the spiritual soul, that what happens is that if you don't take care of it, it becomes ill, it becomes sick, it becomes overweight. It's in a state of obesity, if you wish to say. And then the body needs to be put on diet. And then the body needs to go through, you know, physical workout. You have to put it through cardio and weightlifting and all this stuff. And after you put your body through all that hard workout constantly, every single day, that's when the body becomes healthy again. And the spirit is the very same thing, that nafs that we're talking about, it's the very same thing. By default today, most of our souls are sick. And the reason why our nafs is sick is because of the negative influences that exist around us. Our TV, our internet, our friends, the billboards, our newspapers, everything. You know, we live in a society full of filth. And our inner self has taken so much color from that, that today, in order for us to make it healthy again, we have to put it through, if you wish to call it, a diet program. We have to put it through some rigor. And this is very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually Allah azza wa jalla mentions in the Quran in a very beautiful verse, أَفْرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَ فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Have you not seen the person who has taken his soul as his Lord? When I say soul, I'm talking about the nafs, that lower desire. Have you not seen the person who has taken his desires as his Lord? What has happened to that person? The one who makes his desires his Lord, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals off his ears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals off his heart. وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws a veil over this person's eyes. Imagine, heart is sealed off, hearing is sealed off, veil is over the eyes, there is no hope for this person at all. Just like the person who is badly overweight, every time you give him something sweet, even though he knows it's bad, he just can't help himself and he reaches forward and he eats it. And as we would take pity over that person, we should learn to take pity over ourselves based off our spiritual state. The spirituality, that nafs, to conquer it, is something very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, with every single person, there is a if you wish to call it a shaitan, or an inner call that calls towards evil. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, however, mine has accepted Islam. What did he say? For every person, there is a caller towards evil. Every person has an individual caller towards evil. But for me, for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my caller, my evil side, has accepted Islam. He never had an evil side. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. The prophets are ma'asum, they are protected. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi gives a very beautiful example on explaining the importance of struggling with your soul. He says that, imagine the body like a town. Imagine the body like a town. And then the brain of that body is like the king. And the heart is the most valuable asset within that town. And you have an enemy that's trying to attack you by the name of nafs. You have to learn with your brain to secure your heart. Anything that hurts your brain will automatically hurt your heart. Now, how is your brain secure? How is your heart secure? By the guards and soldiers. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi refers to these guards and soldiers as internal and external influences. So for example, your seeing, your hearing, your hands, your taste, these are all things that in reality control this town of yours referred to as the body. But when these things start taking in negativity, then what happens is that that fortress collapses and shaitan and the nafs overtake the rest of the body. Now, the nafs has negative influences because it has a very good friend. The nafs has very negative influences because it has a good pal, a good friend, a good buddy by the name of shaitan. And as long as the nafs and shaitan are in contact, it's very hard to defeat the two. It's a very solid tag team. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, He makes it very easy for us. He removes shaitan from the equation. SubhanAllah. Come on guys. That's beautiful, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala steps in and says, we are going to tie up shaitan, move him out of the equation. I want you to imagine the nafs being in the middle. It could be good, it could be bad. But the problem is, on this side of the rope, shaitan's pulling, and on the other side of the rope, we're pulling. And shaitan's been pulling this rope for thousands of years. He knows how to pull it. And he's so successful in pulling it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what, shaitan, get out of here. And when shaitan is kicked out of the ring, now it's you and the rope. All we need to do is pull it. If we don't pull it, then no one can be held responsible but ourselves. The month of Ramadan is a platform of struggle against oneself. And if I may call it, the month of Ramadan is a school for training the soul. It's a school for training the soul. This is our opportunity to learn to say no. When you're hungry outside of Ramadan and someone offers you food, what do you say? Yes. No. And then after, no, mashallah. Most of us would say yes. And then after food is over, when they offer you dessert, what do we say? Yes. And then after dessert, they offer you tea and biscuits. What do we say? Yes. And then after that, they offer you mouth fresheners. And what do we say? Yes. And then your wife says, we have to go to a second dinner or second wedding. We say, SubhanAllah, yes. We don't know how to say no. Most kids, on a serious level. If we're hungry, we walk home, what do? We go to the fridge. We never tell ourselves no. We're not used to saying no. We're always used to saying yes. The month of Ramadan teaches us to say no. While you're fasting, if you're hungry, what do you have to say to yourself? No. You're thirsty, what do you have to say to yourself? I can't do it, no. Now you want to look at something haram, what do you have to tell yourself? I'm fasting, I can't do it. You want to watch TV, you tell yourself, if I watch it, I'm going to lose the reward of all this hunger. No, I can't do it. What you're learning to do from the month of Ramadan is saying no. And every time you're saying no to yourself, I want you to imagine you're taking a big shot at your nafs. And you're beating it and beating it into weakness so that you can control it one day. The month of Ramadan is an absolutely amazing opportunity for us to not only battle against our nafs, but also to be victorious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq, strength and ability to do so. I want to give you guys two quick examples before I end. One example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a very beautiful hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, O young men, if you have the ability to get married, get married. But if you can't get married, what should you do? Fast. Because if you fast, that will help you control your lust and your carnal desires. We learned that fasting helps us win the battle against our nafs. The second beautiful example, it's actually something we recited today in the Taraweeh prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Dawud alayhi salam's great battle against Jalut. And Jalut had such a large army. And the scholars say, the Mufassirin say, Dawud alayhi salam only had 313 soldiers. Where else do we remember 313 from? Badr. Same number. Dawud alayhi salam only had 313, and Jalut had a very large army. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only wanted Dawud alayhi salam to take the cream of the crop. So he told Dawud alayhi salam that before we send you to the battlefield, we're going to throw you guys through a test. You know how before you play these video games, modern warfare, you have to go through that first course. You have to see whether you're ready to play or not. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, before we send you to the battlefield, we're going to put you through a test. And what's the test? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni mubtariikum bi nahar. Your test will be water. You're going to be thirsty, and you're going to walk past a river with your soldiers. When you come to that river, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't drink. Whoever drinks will fail the test, and whoever does not drink will pass the test. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. Majority of them drank and they failed the test. This we learn again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test us through our food and drink and to see whether we can control these things or not. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to gain triumph in the month of Ramadan against our nafs, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us victorious. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. آخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.